Husker Doc Talk Podcast, 2016, number 5. Greetings and welcome to another edition of the Husker Doc Talk Podcast, presented by the Remington Trophy. We are getting oh so closer to game week. I'm your co-host, Travis Justice, joined by the one and only former Husker All-American, 1994 Big 8 Athlete of the Year, former member of the New York Giants, Dr. Rob Zadiska. Don't forget the Husker Doc Talk Podcast, presented by the Remington Trophy. The Remington Trophy is presented annually to the nation's top center. Of course, it's named after former Husker great Dave Remington. The Remington Trophy Banquet will take place on January 14th, 2017 at the Rococo Theater in Lincoln. Now, as the year moves on, we will keep you informed on who this year's Ford Legends Award winner is and the featured speaker. The Remington Trophy presentation benefits the Boomer Esiason Foundation, where Dave is the president. Cystic fibrosis is a chronic disease that affects the lungs and digestive system of about 30,000 rather children and adults in the United States and 70,000 worldwide. For more on how you can help fight cystic fibrosis and help those who have it, visit esiason.org. Coming up a little bit later, the Remington Trophy Watch List Spotlight. We also want to welcome Husker Hounds to the Doc Talk Podcast this season, now with three stores in Omaha. Husker Hounds is the best place to buy Nebraska gifts and officially licensed apparel, and look for the new Adidas alternate helmets and jerseys in all three Husker Hound stores later this month. Yes, I said all three stores. The new Husker Hound store at 149th and Maple is now open. For online orders, make sure to go to huskerhounds.com. And we also want to thank huskermax.com for sharing the Husker Doc Talk podcast. For up-to-date Husker news, it's where I go each and every day. Go to huskermax.com. Doc, welcome for another week, huh? We're closer to game week.
Oh, God, I can't wait.
And so what beer, of course, we do not do a Husker Doc Talk podcast without drinking beer. What did you bring to the table today?
We got a little Zipline Brewing Company Hibiscus Saison. I keep a lot of Zipline in the fridge. I'm a Lincoln guy. They're out of Lincoln. I know a couple of people involved with the business down there. It's good beer. I like it. Their Copper Alt's kind of my everyday beer. They just came out with this Hibiscus Saison. I don't know. This was probably a couple months ago. It's kind of a tasty little change.
You know, hibiscus is kind of growing in the craft brew industry. And if you're not familiar, a saison is not a full sour, but I would say it's more of a refreshing summer, early fall type drink.
It's a good one. I mean, it's not kind of your full on Springbok or
no
fall.
Clutch. And I wouldn't even put it into a shandy type category.
No, not at all. You know, heck of a lot. Nowhere near as sweet as a shandy. I got to be honest, I can't do the shandies real well. It's not my cup of tea.
You know, I can do like one, but I can't down a couple. Now, the Zipline Hibiscus Saison, I could probably do three or four in a sitting because it's that. Because the hibiscus is not that overwhelming.
It's not, and I have probably done three or four in a sitting before.
That a boy. So we do it with these.
But of course, I do stay at home and not drive after doing that, per last week's conversation.
Sure you do. And everybody, we had a couple comments on the Facebook page. Which you can make comments. Just go, if you're on the HuskerDocTalk.podbean website right now, you can leave your comments below. But one guy was like, yeah, your interlock system would never work because the governments make way too much money off DWIs, so they want people to get caught drunk driving. The conspiracy theories are out there.
The government is making money.
It all comes down to the government, doesn't it?
Yeah, I'm not sure I'm completely following the logic.
Either do I.
I understand the logic of fines, et cetera. Now, here the thing is, though, is that the government's losing. And I guess when I say the government, the economy, society in general is losing vast amounts of money on drunk driving in terms of loss of life, injuries, lost productivity, et cetera. You know what? If you think the government couldn't make money on interlock devices, how about you install interlock devices on all vehicles, make it a federal regulation,
and you Democrat,
and tax
them. You are
them,
a Democrat.
And tax them. Slap a tax on that bad boy, and guess what? The government will make money all the money they need off of Interlock devices.
Of course, we are talking about drunk driving because shortly after we cut last week's podcast, which had in regards to Keith Williams, the receivers coach who was picked up for DWI, he's been suspended 4 games and doesn't get to go to practice, doesn't get to go to the games, doesn't get to do anything. I think that's a fair punishment. I'm glad they didn't fire him. I didn't think it was a fireable offense. I think you need to get a guy help, which he's committed to. I think it's the appropriate response to what happened.
It is. I'm almost a little surprised it wasn't just a little harsher. I was thinking this was going to be about a 6 or 8 week thing. Is it a good punishment, bad punishment? I don't know. I kind of agree with you. I think it is a reasonably well thought out punishment. I did not think it was a fireable offense. I didn't think it was something they should fire him for. I think it's something we talked last week about. You kind of keep the guy in the fold, keep him within a structured environment, see him through a treatment process, and then move, and then you kind of reintegrate him back into the program again. So I think it's a reasonable punishment, but that doesn't mean I'm not surprised. I actually thought we would be seeing something 6 weeks, 8 weeks, potentially even a season suspension.
You thought it's maybe a season, huh?
Potentially, yes.
Now, obviously he has to go get some help, do some community service and all that stuff, but I'm glad it's died down. It really didn't take off nationally like maybe I thought it would, and I think for the most...
It's an assistant coach.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, about the only time you ever see something like this take off nationally is when it's a head coach, and even then, it hits the national news, and then it kind of goes away. There have been times when head coaches have been arrested for drunk driving. The only time when, even with a head coach, that it makes really big news and it kind of hangs in sort of the national media consciousness. Think about like Bobby Petrino when he was down at Arkansas, when it's a case of driving drunk on a motorcycle with your mistress, intern, former volleyball player, while you're still married, and
was driving drunk, though. You know that.
And it was... But all of those coaches also have...
Not that I condone infidelity.
Well, they've got morality and ethical clauses
that's true
within their contracts. And so he's commit may not be illegal, but it's a fireable offense.
Yes, if you're really reaching deep.
If you're reaching to the confines of the contract under which most people work.
Yes.
But you can't tell me
there haven't been Husker coaches over the course of time. Even president, they're banging somebody on the side.
You just said banging.
Well,
what? We have never had a president do that. Usually only Democrats.
So that's where we are with Keith. And again, but does that? Let me ask you this, and I want to get off the topic because it is old news.
Do you think Hillary's going to have a bunch of like male interns? It's going to be like,
geez,
it's going to be like a bunch of boy toy Monicas.
She might have a bunch of female interns. So, let me...
I can't believe you just went there.
Did I go there?
You went there. I thought...
Come on, you haven't thought it?
I thought I would...
You haven't thought that?
I try not to think about her in that light at all, no matter which gender we're leaning towards.
Okay.
Thank God this is a podcast because we'd both be fired.
So our sponsors, Dave's going to go, hey, I'm not sponsoring you guys anymore. Husker Hounds is going, we're not sponsoring you anymore.
We are tangenting hard
but
here.
Does this punishment, because I do want to move on from this, does this punishment for Williams lay the foundation for student athletes that are picked up? Because Iowa just kicked the kid off. They got an OWI off the weekend. Gone. You're gone. Freshman. See ya.
What was it, a first offense?
I think he's been in a little other trouble before.
Well, then there's extenuating circumstances that go beyond just that DUI, and that completely changes things. If it is a case of a first-time DUI, I think you go through a similar process. I really do. I think you try to keep the person within a structured environment, keep them in school, keep them on the structure of the team. Those college athletic teams are ungodly structured environments. People think it's a bunch of chickens with their heads cut off, the prisoners running the show, and that's not the case. It is very highly structured, highly regimented, and most of these kids are doing great work, doing a good job, pulling excellent grades. I think you keep them within that system is always the best way to go about it in terms of helping them and helping society on the whole.
So I'm going to transition to a different topic, and this might be the first time all year that you and I maybe disagree and get into a passionate debate, which would maybe surprise some people over this topic. Now, I mentioned Husker Hounds earlier, and we love Scotty Strunk. He's runs a great business. Husker Hounds is the place to get all your Husker apparel. If you need anything that's Husker related, you go to Husker Hounds. And I believe on about August 29th, he's going to have in his stores the new alternate jerseys and the alternate helmets.
Oh, I thought we were getting into like this.
Not yet.
Some kind
Not
of
yet.
Hard.
No, core. Because I know how you feel about the all whites. Now, just let me tell you, Adidas puts out a lot of crap, and nobody even wants Adidas anymore. As a matter of fact, if you're in Adidas school, you're kind of frowned upon. But
it's amazing how big an impact that has.
I'm telling you right now, the chrome all whites that I saw yesterday are the best Nebraska alternates I've ever seen, and I love these uniforms. I absolutely love them. I know you hate the all whites. I know you think it's the surrender flag. They're bitching. No?
It's like Oregon.
It's not like Oregon, because Oregon wears an alternate every game.
Well, that's true. It's not my cup of tea, and I can't stand the all whites.
You hate the all whites,
don't
you?
It's a philosophical thing. I mean, aesthetically, yes, these are the best of any alternate uniform that Adidas has thrown out there for Nebraska.
Absolutely.
That I will agree with. But at the same time, I'm also saying, okay, within the realm of dumpster fires that are alternate uniforms, this one's just sort of kind of like a small smoking smolder, in my opinion. It's not my thing. And do you see Alabama wearing alternate uniforms?
No.
Do you know why?
Because they don't have to. They're Alabama.
Exactly.
Kind of like Penn State.
I just said exactly with the G. Exactly.
But neither does Penn State.
Yeah, that's just because they're boring. Here's my thing. It's a case. Alabama doesn't wear them.
Nebraska's not Alabama.
In the mid-90s, they were.
But it's not the mid-90s.
I know, but here's my point.
Unfortunately, you had Bill Callahan that ruined the winning tradition.
There is a you know what? You had coaching changes, and anytime you have coaching changes, that's going to throw wrenches into the works to a degree. Here's my point. Alabama doesn't wear it, not because they don't have to, but because their focus is elsewhere. Their focus is on, we're going to go kick the shit out of you. We don't care what we're wearing. We don't care what you're wearing. We're going to kick the shit out of you. That's the bottom line focus. You go ask Nick Saban, what are you focused on week in and week out? And it's going to be some variation of, we're going to kick the shit out of you. And that's it. And I think people kind of start losing focus. I think kids start losing focus a little bit here. You go to Alabama, and there is, I would assume, there is probably a massive, massive performance pressure upon all of those student athletes. I bet when they leave that place after having played football for Nick Saban in that environment with the current winning tradition that they've had there since he hit the door in whatever it was, 07, 08, I bet that everything they do for the rest of their life pales in comparison in terms of the amount of pressure on them. Now, I'm not saying it's the best days of their lives, the worst days, but I think in terms of the overall pressure to perform, it is so high there because that's all they focus on. They don't care what they're wearing. I guarantee you that as much as Nick Saban wants great recruits to come to Alabama, and he does, it's the fact that you are going to Alabama and that you are going to win lots and lots and lots of championships. That is why recruits are going there. They are not going there to wear alternate jerseys. And I get it. Recruits love that crap. But there's kind of a whole nother level here and I say that this is a systematic thing, and I'm not talking about you, me, the kid who wants to go to Oregon. I'm talking about there is a small elite level in college football, and people at that ultimate elite level They may wear the alternate uniform on occasion, but ultimately they don't give a rat's ass what they're wearing. They only carry the only thing they care about is that they are going to crush the next opponent the next week.
Would you agree with me on this? And that is because Alabama doesn't change, because Alabama's had basically the same helmet and same uniform since Bear Bryant, that almost becomes an alternative. I mean, because it's like, it stands out so much because of its plainness.
Yeah, you know, I guess, you know, here's, and I agree. When I was in college, and here's kind of a sort of a corollary. When I was in college, every single guy I played football with, save maybe one or two, got tattoos. At the time, it was kind of the thing to do. I think that's only grown since then. I was like the weird rebel who didn't get a tattoo. It's sort of like that, and I'm not saying I'm a rebel by any means.
But to me, the Nebraska uniform was never the uniform, and I didn't mean to cut you off, but the Nebraska uniform to me was never the uniform, it was the helmet. The helmet made Nebraska's uniform.
There was kind of a basic, and I mean, you had the red jersey, white pants, you flip-flop for the road games. The helmet stayed the same. It was one of these things where I think from on a philosophical level, if you're thinking about, hey, how about for road games we wear all whites? Or, hey, it's a big game, help us get fired up, we're going to wear all red. And yeah, you know, Nebraska's done that periodically well before the era of the alternate uniforms. Yeah. Here's the thing. If you're thinking, if that thought's even going through your mind,
you're beat already.
You are already beat. You are already thinking, hey, we need something else to put us over the top beyond our own ability, our own thought process, our own effort and hard work.
Chrome face mask, you like that though? You don't. I'm the only, I knew we would disagree on this.
Is it cool looking? Yeah, it's cool looking. Philosophically, it says, hey, we need something else to get recruits here. We need something else to market the brand. We need something else to get us fired up to defeat that next opponent. That's why I don't like it. That's why I sit here and everybody thinks I'm cracking jokes about putting up the surrender flag when I'm on Twitter watching games when they're wearing the all whites. You know, I am, but again, it says if you need the uniform, if you need that change up in the uniform to get your juices flowing, you already lost. You might still win the game, but it's only because the opponent sucked more than you did.
Do you think the alternative works better at home or on the road? Because I was surprised they were going to do the alternative on the road.
I don't think it matters.
Doesn't matter?
I don't think it matters.
So yeah, look at Nebraska. Northwestern can wear those old gothic uniforms.
Look at Nebraska. Last year, they lost to Northwestern wearing alternate uniforms in Lincoln.
True.
There was an alternate uniform game against UCLA. It doesn't matter.
Wisconsin one year.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It's like I said, it's that thought process of if we need this to get us going, then you've already lost.
Spoken from the expert, Dr. Rob Zaska.
And I'm not saying I was perfect, but it's one of these.
What do you mean? You are perfect. Look at you.
I was, well, okay, football
wise. Did you get a 36 in your ACT?
No.
You didn't?
No, it was the day after a football game.
What'd you get? Did you get a 35?
No, it was like a 30-something.
If you know, you disappoint me.
I've had a lot of blows to the head. That was like 20 years
okay,
ago.
Okay, what'd you get on the Wonderlic? Sick.
Yeah, all I remember is I missed one because I ran out of time and didn't answer.
So you were near perfect.
I did okay. I'm just saying, it's one of these things where, here's my take, and you can take anybody in my class at Nebraska, which came in fall of 90, redshirted that year, played through fall of 94.
Okay.
We won 4 conference championships and a national championship.
And didn't wear all whites or all reds once.
No, we did. I remember my sophomore year in 92.
But you sucked that year.
We went all whites and went 1-2 wearing the all whites.
And did that include the bowl game?
No, it did not include the bowl game.
That was the Georgia Tech bowl game, right?
No, that was 1990. I was redshirting. Okay. I did not step onto the field that year. Okay. I was redshirting. This would have been the first of back-to-back games against Florida State.
Okay.
Not the close loss. This was the year before that. Now, here's the thing. That 1992 Nebraska team was arguably one of the most talented teams that I played on. Tommy Frazier was a true freshman. He was a little raw.
Marv Seiler.
But God, still running.
That was all white, so wasn't it?
And that was us and all. That was one of the two losses.
You know what it does? You know what all whites does? It makes you look really slow.
Maybe it makes you.
And it made Marv Seiler look really fast.
Maybe there's something in white fabric that like stiffens it up. It's too much starch. But I just, we went 1-2 in all whites that year. Here's my thing from my
perspective. But you remember that. You know, here we are 15 years later, you're going, we went 1-2 in all whites. I mean, it didn't even take you a minute to think about it.
Yeah. We lost to Washington.
Yeah.
We beat Missouri, Tommy Frazier's first start, but it took literally just some of these ungodly athletic heroics by Frazier to win that game. It was a shootout. And then we lost to Iowa State. And then, no joke, I remember collectively at a team, we're like, we are never freaking doing this again. This is ridiculous. Get rid of these damn things.
So you did after 92, you didn't do that again?
Didn't do it again. I think somebody once in a team meeting casually mentioned going all red for a home game in 94 and just got absolutely shouted down. Because we recognize the fact of the matter that, listen, if we're thinking about these changeups as a means to add interest and get us fired up and so on and so forth, our heads are in the wrong places from the get-go. It just is. Now, I get it. If you're Oregon, that's kind of your thing.
Yeah. I mean, that's their brand.
It is. That's their brand. You are never going to – guys will go 2 years without seeing the same damn uniform. That's fine. Knock yourself out. That's your thing. I'm just saying, I completely understand the focus of where Alabama's at right now.
And you're saying that's where Nebraska needs to be.
That's where Nebraska was at one time. And they're definitely not now. But in my point about the championships, when I said we won four conference titles and a national title, in our mindset of that group of guys that I went through with who played on the field from 91 through 94, we were a good, solid, representative team of that era.
I would agree.
We were not great. We were kind of mediocre. And that was, I've got five championship rings at home. Four conference, one national title.
Should have been two national titles.
Should have, could have, would have.
Yeah. But you got one.
We got one. We did okay. But that's my point. Our mindset was, we did okay, and we could have been more focused. We freaking were out there jacking around with white pants and white jerseys running up a surrender flag, and we came to that realization that the mindset is in the wrong place when you are getting all fired up about this shit.
There you go. Hey, this week's Remington Trophy Watchlist Spotlight shines on Brian Allen from Michigan State. He's a 6'2", 304-pound junior. Now, Allen is a two-year letter winner, has played in 26 career games, including 13 starts, 11 at left guard, 2 at center. He enters preseason camp as a starting left guard and can also play center. So that's why Dave has put him on the preseason watch list. He was a preseason All-American selection by Athlon Sports. That would be in the third-team selection. And a preseason All-Big Ten selection by Athlon Sports, first team selection in that category. Also named to the Outland Trophy watch list, which goes to the nation's most outstanding interior lineman. Third week in a row, we've done the spotlight, which I like doing the spotlight because we get to highlight other guys.
It's been Big Ten guys.
But that's why I'm kind of focusing on the Big Ten guys until we get done with them because there's six on the list. But it just seems like this is the third straight guy that may or may not play the position. And it's that versatile of a position.
I'm not saying it's that versatile of a position, but when you look at Iowa, when you look at Michigan State.
And we did Michigan as well.
Yeah, it's you've got guys who Allen's arguably the best offensive lineman on the team. His brother graduated.
He might be one of the best ones in the conference. Couldn't you make that argument?
Very much so. I mean, his brother graduated. His brother was an absolute anchor on that offensive line, despite his cheap shots against Nebraska's defensive tackles. But this guy's a stud. He's a great, great offensive lineman. But again, it goes back to that concept of, I think a lot of coaches, I was going to say your best lineman, period. But it's kind of gone into sort of a offensive line has sort of morphed into sort of a two-phase thing. You've got tackles, and then you've got the interior guys. Your best tackle is going over to left tackle. Your best interior guy, traditionally, coaches are going to try and figure out a way to get that guy pushed over to the center position. And if you've got somebody who's playing just a little bit more consistently there, maybe you put a different guy in. But I think most offensive line coaches are going to take their best player and they're going to put that guy at the center position.
For more on the Remington Trophy watch list for the fall, go to RemingtonTrophy.com. You can also see when this year's Remington Trophy presentation is coming up. That'd be January 14th, 2017. Make sure to sponsor your table or get your tickets. You will not be disappointed in the night that is. All right. I'd originally planned this week to talk about the entire Nebraska offense, but we're already pretty deep into this thing. So we just talked about an offensive lineman. Let's just focus solely on the Nebraska offensive line this week. And because left guard Jared Foster's gone now, Corey Whitaker sidelined with an injury, where does this Nebraska offensive line sit right now?
It kind of turned into a little bit of a question mark here for me. Now, I was actually looking at this line, obviously not so much experience-wise because you're bringing in three new starters, but from a athletic standpoint, in terms of guys who can play the position, are good athletes, when you looked at Nick Gates and David Neville at the tackle spots, huge upgrade over last year when you had Gates over on the right side, which I thought he was arguably Nebraska's best offensive lineman last year as a redshirt freshman holding down that right tackle spot, and when you had Alex Lewis flipping the bird to the stands after a couple of close losses. It was Nick Gates who was the guy who was walking out of the tunnel onto the field and grabbing Alex Lewis and hauling him back into the locker room, which in my mind, it speaks a lot to this kid's character and leadership that he's the one saying, okay, shut your ass up and get in here. And he's saying it to a fifth-year senior who has a lot of roots at Nebraska. So I'm high on Nick Gates. I love David Neville. I still think at some point, in terms of size, strength, overall athleticism, and ability to play football, I think at some point we really need to see Michael Decker at center. That's kind of one of my pipe dream spots is to see him move into that center position. Nothing against Dylan Utter. The guy is one of the hardest working people you will ever see. It's just, darn it, it's kind of one of those, well, he's small, but he's slow kind of things. He's short. He's light. He's not the fastest guy. He's not the strongest guy. He's a gamer. He's a hard worker. He has busted his ever-loving ass, but I just don't see him as the long-term solution to that spot, which he's a senior, so it's not a long-term thing anyway. But I would love to see get Decker in there, get him worked into that starting role. Losing Gerald Foster, I think, is huge. I think that is a really big loss. And I think that all of a sudden we went from kind of, in my mind, someone inexperienced, but a really solid group of athletes up front. And I think losing a guy like Foster kind of throws a wrench in there. And it just completely demolishes the depth on that line. Now, here's the thing. Riley and the coaching staff were talking about guys like Bo Wilson
You're talking about a true freshman there, right?
Yeah. And it's just the thing that's got me a little bit confused here is that, okay, you got Tanner Farmer probably holding down the other guard spot. You haven't heard a lot of mention of Jalen Barnett.
He's part of that group, but you're throwing out names like Sam Hahn. You're throwing out like Cole Conrad.
But given his recruiting prowess, given everything, we heard a lot of talk. I mean, if you kind of pay attention to the people who are going down and watching practice, there's over the last year, there's a lot of chatter about how good Jalen Barnett looked redshirting last year, how good he looked during spring ball, how good he looked really early in fall camp. And instead of, Gerald Foster's injured, this sucks, he's having knee surgery, likely not coming back this year. But that's okay. Jalen Barnett's going to move into that spotting, into that starting
spot. Do they not see him maybe?
I don't know. It kind of surprised me that we're talking about true freshmen and not a redshirt freshman, not a guy who is really, really highly touted coming out of high school. I'm kind of curious. Has he just not grasped the offense yet? Does he just not have enough polish or consistency?
Danny Langsdorf talks about Han and Conrad being more versatile guys who can do a lot of different things. Is Barnett a guy who maybe not be as versatile as those guys
and filling that's in different the thing. Roles? He may be somebody who just got. Maybe he's just a really, really good run blocker. He just doesn't have the movement yet or the technique yet to inside pass block. And that might be it. You got a couple of guys who maybe have a little bit more well-rounded set of skills, and they're going to go with them. I don't know. I'm just my point is I'm just a little surprised, I guess, that you haven't heard Barnett's name all of a sudden kind of penciled in there.
So where does this set as? Because now the focus changes from fall camp to really setting into game number one, game preparations. Where does this set the offense as a whole with the offensive line dinged up a little bit?
For the first game, I'm not sure it's a huge issue. I don't think Fresno State's going to come into Lincoln and overwhelm Nebraska's offensive line with 3, 4, 5 NFL caliber guys in their front seven. It's just not going to happen. They're just not that good. So I think they got a little bit of a gimme. I shouldn't say that. You never have a gimme week. Nebraska had 7 gimme weeks last year, and I think they lost all of them. So it's not a gimme week, but you've got a week where I think you've got a chance to play some of these guys. And for lack of a better phrase, figure it out. They can kind of maybe try a couple of guys. Maybe you put Bo in there in the first quarter. Go ahead and start him. See what happens. See if the kid can handle it. Tell him, hey, straight up, you're going to play the first quarter.
How much did you play as a freshman? How much did you play as a freshman? Now, I know you were a redshirt freshman. As a redshirt freshman.
Actually, quite a bit. I'm going to brag a little bit.
Okay,
Not even a humble brag. This is just bragging. To my understanding, I am the first offensive lineman in Nebraska football history to start as a freshman.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, you were a redshirt freshman.
Redshirt freshman. So it was as a redshirt. I got to throw that little caveat in there. So that was a different era, though. I mean, you just rarely saw that happen then.
But what is mentality?
I did play a fair amount as a freshman, but that was the other thing then too. Tenneper and Young and Osborne, they kind of liked if they had a handful of guys who they knew were going to be good, solid backups, potential future starters. They always tried to get you into some of those games as a freshman. The only game I never played in as a Nebraska football player was against Washington in Lincoln as a redshirt freshman. So it would have been Washington in 91.
That's why you lost.
I don't know about that. They had Steve Empman.
Don James was still the head coach then at the point.
It was.
Was that a national championship team for them?
It was. They tied with Miami. Okay. Miami won it in one pull. Washington won it in the other. That was the Washington team just absolutely smoked Michigan in the Rose Bowl. I mean, they were loaded on defense that year. Great middle linebacker. Two of their three interior D linemen were longtime NFL guys. I mean, just an incredibly talented Washington team. Tight game the whole time. There just wasn't a good spot. None of us who were freshmen that year, myself, Zach Wiegert, Brendan Stein, none of us played in that game.
So Ziegert or Wiegert and Stein didn't start when they were redshirt freshmen?
No, although on the flip side, Zach Wiegert was first team all conference as a sophomore, second team all American as a junior, and won an Outland winner. I think they did. Those two guys did.
They did all right for themselves.
They did just fine. My point is, though, we were all, though, playing consistently throughout the season, early in games. Miami in the bowl game, we were all in that game as freshmen in the second quarter.
Yeah.
First quarter, possibly. I mean, we were all playing early in big games. I remember against Oklahoma, I think Arizona State I started, and then myself and Lance Lumberg. Lance kind of locked down the starting job most of the rest of the year at left tackle. But we kind of alternated. So Lance would start, go play two series. I'd go play a couple series. And then we just flip-flop every couple of series for the remainder of the game. So you were playing first quarter, second quarter as freshmen. And Osborne always did that. I remember Aaron Taylor
coming in early. You bring up a good point. So you guys had depth. And that's what, you know, all great Nebraska teams had depth at offensive line.
I'll say, I think we did a really good job of both recruiting but also developing linemen.
I think
the coaching staff in some of these games where you knew you might have a little bit of a comfort level playing a few of these younger guys, that they did a good job of working guys in. I mean, you'd get into that early second quarter of some of these games where it's probably going to be a surefire win. They were sticking guys in there. And that's the thing that I'd love to see happen against Fresno State, against Indiana or Illinois anymore because, shit, we lost against them last year.
But I think it's safe to say that Bo Wilson's going to get some playing time.
I think if they're talking about him now in this light, I'm willing to bet this guy does not redshirt. I bet he gets a lot of playing time. You know, I say that, but the thing is, though, if you look at the guys in front of him, if you look at Tanner Farmer, if you look at Gerald, when you take a guy like Foster, he's expected to fully recover from this. Man, maybe you do redshirt a guy like Bo. Yeah, give him that time to... Give them that time to develop so you've got them for the future.
So that's Rob's assessment of the offensive line. We wanted to get into the whole offense today, but, we got to cut it off sometime.
It really doesn't matter once you get past the offensive line.
That seed's spoken like a true offensive lineman. I want to thank Rob for bringing in the Zipline Hibiscus Saison today. Zipline out of Lincoln, you make some great beer.
Mine was tasty. It's gone now.
I want to thank Husker Hounds for sponsoring the Husker Doc Talk podcast. I want to thank HuskerMax.com for...
Good luck to Scotty selling all those surrender flags.
I want to thank HuskerMax.com for distributing this podcast. And, of course, a big thanks to Dave Remington and the Remington Trophy for presenting this podcast. And don't forget, go to RemingtonTrophy.com so you can go to the Remington Trophy presentation January 14th, 2017 at the Rococo Theater. Next week on the next Husker Doc Talk podcast, it's game week!
I bet Dave never wore all white.
We'll talk Fresno State next week. See ya.